Betfair are on your side this autumn racing. Imagine what you could be buying instead. From the sporting capital of Australia. Sporting capital of Australia. It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning. Biggest sports show for your Saturday morning. Sarah Ollie, Will Rawson, and Ryan Warren. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
29 degrees and sunny across the weekend. Full round of footy. Where else would you rather be than Melbourne right now? Spend the next 2 hours having a bit of fun with us here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. I am Ryan Warren, aka Rabs. Hello, Will Ross.
Good morning, Rabs. What a game of footy last night if you're a Swans supporter. Yoo-hoo. Unfortunately, Rabs, on your side of the equation, yes. The Pies, man, you must be flat as a biscuit.
There's no better hangover than a premiership hangover, William. So we'll push on. Yes, we are. In a massive one at the moment. You've had a big week. You gave away $10,000.
Yes, on the Marty Sheargold show, yeah. We gave away 10 grand for nice. Spin It DJ. So good to see generosity on the M's as always.
Hello, Sarah. Ollie, how are you? You are
good
up and about.
Morning.
You've got a little jig going on.
Yeah, no, it's a good morning to be a Swans supporter. 2-0 and Brody Grundy, Will. 2-0 yes. Against his former sides. And you've unearthed a little stat when it comes to Brody.
Yes, I'm going to have to credit useless AFL stats on Facebook for this one. So Brody Grundy this morning is the second player in history to win his first two matches at a third club, both against his former clubs.
Amazing. Who was the first?
We go back to 1996. Peter Cavan of Adelaide playing against Sydney and Fitzroy while he was at the Crows.
Do you remember his work?
Not particularly well. Won two flags, though, Peter Cavan.
You would have been a little bubba back then.
Yeah, I was only new. Yeah. I was two at the time.
Hey, we have a massive show today. Simon Madden is going to join us. The Bombers are celebrating the 84-85 Premiership team today in their game against the Hawks. Of course, the Saturday Rub will be calling that. Matt Shervington. Everyone's favourite breakfast TV host, Shervo, is going to join us ahead of Run for the Kids tomorrow, which is in Melbourne. It's a sellout Run for the Kids. How good is that?
Very good. Couldn't pay me to do a run.
I won't personally run for the kids, but
we'll support them.
Yes, we will.
Morally and financially.
If you are a Swans or indeed a South Melbourne supporter, you are walking around with a pep in your step this morning because last night it was the Swans 15-12-102 defeating the reigning premiers Collingwood 10-9-69, a 33-point win, and this is how it all went down.
Another handball's been intercepted. Warner, first goal coming up, Sydney, and a brilliant bit of play from a young gun.
Here is Papley. We said you'd see him. We said you'd see Papley. Hand in the air, loves a celebration. Robot forced to hit from 50 to mop it all up. Robot!
And now Handy to Campbell, demanding the footy. James Jordan. Campbell said, get out of my way. I'm going to put it straight down Logan McDonald's throat. And here's five unanswered for the Sydney Swans. Chris has taken on Haywood. Got nailed in the tackle. Play on the lizard. And he's going to run in and get another gift. Logan McDonald's got three.
Siren sounds. Big win to the Sydney Swans.
A big win, a 33-point win over Collingwood. And Will Haywood from the Swans has been good enough to join us. Will, welcome to Dead Set Legends.
Thank you very much for having me.
I mean, what a start to the season. 2-0 against two sides that we think will contend again this year. Just what is the belief like within the group at the moment? I know it's early days, but so far so good.
Yeah, it's been a really good start for us. I think, taking it up to two top four teams and obviously the premiers last year, it's really good signs for us early, but absolutely no room for complacency and we'll just keep getting to work.
A few new faces in the side this year, Brody Grundy being one of them. He's gone 2-0 against his former team. What has he brought to the group?
Oh, he's great. He's been such a good addition for us. He's such a competitor. To have a ruckman that's so dominant, it's sort of something we haven't had for a while. He brings great energy to the group as well. He's a ball of energy, and I think he's really enjoying himself here.
So, Will, now with a buddy-less forward line, I should say, that you're now part of, we saw Logan McDonald cash in last night, four goals. And Marty, his presence was very known. Is there something that's changed this off-season? Does everyone feel like there's a bit more room up there and do you have more license to lead and to get yourself involved?
I think, there's no one can fill the hole of a Buddy Franklin, but I think if you're searching for a positive it just opens up probably more avenues for us. I mean, Logan got off the chain last night, but, there's not one sort of obvious forward that we're going to we're going to sort of kick the ball to every time. So there's a lot of avenues for us up there, and you know, that might cause a few more headaches for defenders. And yeah, I think it's a positive start. Our young key forwards are only going to get better as well.
We're speaking to Swans forward Will Haywood. Will, we're loving the form of Isaac Heaney playing, I'm not sure if it's through necessity or not, as more of a pure midfielder this year. I feel like last season he had his critics, but he was pretty banged up from all reports. Just what has his preseason been like, and has it flowed on to these two stunning performances on the field?
Yeah, he's a heart of the trainer, as you'll find. He you know, it's only taken him 10 years to get into the midfield, so I think he's taking that with every like a bit of gold, I should say. He's loving his time up there. He's such a strong guy. Getting him in the contest has been really good for us, and you know, we also saw last night that he can still spit forward and kick two or three goals.
Will, you started the season 2-0. From your perspective up in Sydney, how cool was it to have the opening game of the season up at the SCG?
Oh, it was amazing. I know there's been a bit of chat of it down here, and some fans of it, some not. But we obviously loved it. To play the opening round of a season is really special for us. And, you know, in our 150th year anniversary, it was a really good way for our fans to get involved as well.
And Will, so obviously a non-traditional football state up there in Sydney, there will be a lot of players, I imagine, from Melbourne, and you're staying around in Melbourne today seeing some family. How often does that happen when you travel interstate? Is there still opportunities to see out the weekend in some of the places you go?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially if we've got a bit of a longer break between games, we can. So if we play on a Friday night like we did, we can come back to Sydney on Sunday. So boys with families tend to do that, and obviously, if we play in Perth, it's a bit harder for those boys, so they might get a bit more leeway to spend some time with some family and stuff like that. So the club's really good in that sense. Mm.
Now, Will, there was a really weird moment in the game last night. I think it could have been the second term. The ball was kicked into the air, and it's whacked into the Fox flying cam, I should say. Were you aware of what was going on, and are you aware of a rule around what happens to the ball if it does hit the camera like that?
Yeah, I was right. I was ready to get to Joel Amati's feet and try and crumb it, but it actually nearly hit me on the head. So I couldn't tell you what the rule was, but yeah, it would have been. Yeah, it's a weird one. I'm not sure. Has it ever happened before?
I don't know if it's ever happened in footy. I think it's happened in cricket before thing, yeah. That perhaps it's even hit someone out on the field or something a bit bizarre, yeah. but very unusual indeed. Hey, Will, just before we do let you go, I mean, there are so many heralded players in your team, but I feel like one that maybe doesn't get the respect outside of the Sydney Football Club that others do is James Rowbottom. And I thought he was fantastic last night and really summed up with that chase down tackle of Jordan Dugowie, which wasn't called holding the ball. I'm not sure why, but just a word on Rowie and what he brings to your team.
Yeah, he's one that within the four walls of our club, he's one of the most respected players we've got. You know, he's as consistent and tough as they get. He sets the tone for us every week. So, and he's one that, you know, he's not looking for, you know, the spotlight or media to pump him up. But when he walks into the club, he knows that he's one of our most valued players. And he just goes out there every week and just competes.
And just quickly before we let you go, Will, 25 years old, you're a South Australian boy and you're out of contract at the end of the season. Where are those talks at?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I'm just sort of leaving that to my manager for the moment, and I'm just, you know, trying to enjoy playing footy and hopefully keep getting some wins.
Well answered. All right, Will.
Straight back, beautiful.
Will, enjoy your weekend. It's a nice way to start on Friday night with a 33-point win over the reigning premiers. So thanks for joining us on Dead Set Legends.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
And the guest we've got straight off the bat this morning, how about this?
Hello.
On the line we have for Run for the Kids tomorrow in Melbourne, all across Melbourne, going across the Balti Bridge, through the Domain Tunnel, raising great money for the Good Friday Appeal. And on the line we have Australian running superstar and breakfast TV host that everyone loves, Matt Shervington. Good morning, Shervo.
Hey, good morning. You just interrupted my last little bit of training for the race.
Yes,
we were just... Not really. I haven't done enough. Right.
How long are you planning to run tomorrow, Shervo?
I'm doing the 15K. I think it's 14.4, and I've got to be honest with you, it's about 14.3 too far for me. So I'm a little bit nervous, so I've got to be honest with you.
How do you prepare for a 14.4 kilometre run, Shervo? Because I'm not a runner. I'm going to admit it this morning. I mean, when I'm running, yep. I'm just telling myself, get to the next tree, get to the next power line or something like that. How do you prepare for a run like this?
Get to the next street.
Yeah.
Really good question. You should be asking Steve Monaghetti. He's like, you know, the ambassador for the whole thing, and obviously Olympic champion and Australian marathoning champion. He said to me, look, all you need to do is start fast and just hang on to the end. But when I start fast, I go at too fast a pace and I'm exhausted by about 100, 200 metres in. So what have I been doing for training? I haven't been doing heaps. I've been doing a bit of riding on my bike. I've been doing a little bit of swimming. I know it sounds strange because I'm doing a run, but I'm just trying to get my endurance up. And you know what? I've got to be honest with you. I think I'm going to go in there and I'm going to start running. I might do a bit of walking, might see some family, start to have a bit of a chat around and, you know, just take it easy. So we'll see how we go. You don't need to set your personal best too high the first year you do it, so you can come back and beat it next year.
Good.
Shervo, we had Abby Holmes on the Rush Hour during the week, and she's also an ambassador for Run for the Kids. You guys are going to run together. She actually She said that you will go all right for the first 400 metres as a sprinter and then battle after that.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, she was overstating it, 400 metres. I think that's making me more nervous because Abby's so strong. She's so powerful. She's such a good athlete in her own right. We've worked together at Channel 7 for a while now, and she's bloody good at everything she does. So I'm worried. I'm a bit worried. She's going to set the pace, and I'm just going to have to try and hang on. You know those little gel packs they give you for energy? I'm going to take like 17 of them and hopefully they get me to the end.
Well, don't worry. Abby also said she hasn't really been training either. So you're in the same boat.
She's a liar. Yeah. She's a liar.
We're speaking
to starting
Matt
at a far better base than me. So
We're speaking to Matt Shervington, an ambassador for Run for the Kids, which is tomorrow. The long course is 14.4 kilometres. The short course, 4.7 kilometres. But Shervo, a little later in the year, we have the Paris Olympics, which we are all looking forward to. I'm just wondering, who are a few athletes that we should keep our eyes out for?
Yeah.
Because we were just watching before we came on air, Torrey Lewis, who set the national record, the new national record in the 100 metres. Is she one of the athletes to watch?
She's a gun. She is, for me, she is the number one athlete to watch.
Wow.
She's emerging.
Wow.
She's 19 years old. She grew up in kind of mid-north coast of New South Wales, a place called Newcastle. She's gone up to Queensland to do her high schooling, and is just a superstar, as you said. So she's already broken the Australian 100-metre record, which was held by Melissa Breen, previously Melinda Gainsford-Taylor, who in their own right have been our best sprinters of all time. So that's one thing. She's 19. She's young. She's only getting better. I look at Paris for her as a bit of a stepping stone.
Okay.
We've got LA in 2028, but in 2032, she'll be kind of mid to late 20s, and she'll be just absolutely firing. I reckon she'll be the face of those Brisbane Olympics. She may even, you know, have made a final by that stage, if not better. So, yeah, she's definitely one to watch. We've got so many. And to be honest, our girls are really great at the moment. Nina Kennedy in the pole vault. She's the current world champion. Nicola Olislager's in the high jump, along with Eleanor Patterson, who was the previous world champion. They could both medal, those two. Like, that would be remarkable to have two Australian women on the podium in the same event. That would just be outstanding. And then we got a couple of good male athletes as well. Curtis Marshall in the pole vault. He got third at World Championships last year. Stu McSwain in the middle distance events. And then we've got Rowan Browning, of course, in the sprints too, the flying mullet. He's looking pretty good. He hasn't raced much this year, which I quite like, because him and his coach, Andrew Murphy, have just been focusing on getting prepared for the games, and they're going to peak at the right time. We've still got a while away.
Yeah.
So, our team's really strong, at the moment.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Shervo. So you've got the run tomorrow. Is it a carb loading session tonight? What's the plan?
I'm actually having a pasta party tonight at my
house.
Nice.
So,
I'm gonna bring it all out. The bolognese and the macaroni and cheese and the pizza and, you know, bring it out. And hopefully, I'm struggling. I've got to be honest with you. I'm grasping for anything at the moment. So I'm going to be the one that's got a Powerade intravenous as I'm going around.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on how you go and how that IV Powerade goes, Sherbo. Best of luck, mate. We hope you run well and good luck in raising money for all the Good Friday Appeal and the Royal Children's Hospital as well. Thanks.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, raising money for the kids. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
Now, I don't know if you're across your Indian Wells tennis, but a swarm of bees forced a nearly two-hour disruption to a quarterfinal between Carlos Alcaraz and Alexander Zverev at the BNP Paribas Open on Thursday. So Alcaraz was seen swatting the bees away.
With his racket?
Yes, which I think that just went through little holes in the racket, to be fair, before running for cover. And the match was suspended for 19 minutes. With Alcaraz serving at 1-1. He ended up winning the match, but let's have a listen.
Yeah, loads of little bees are these that are circling ahead. Gee, how many there are.
Gentlemen, we are surrounded with bees here. They pause for a while. He's coming.
I think Mohammed said there were bees, didn't he? Yeah, it's horrendous. You don't want to get stung in the face by one of those. Wow, I don't think I've ever seen this before.
No. So it wasn't just one or two. You know, like in a cartoon when they hit like a hive and then thousands. It was like that.
There was thousands of bees. There was, it just descended.
Yeah. So someone had to come out with a vacuum cleaner.
Excuse me?
And vacuum the bees up and then, I'm assuming, release them
humanely. Vacuum just them in the sky, in the air.
You know, they were on the spider cam. Yeah. So we've had some issues with the spider cam over the last couple of days. The footy hit it last night and have some bees over in Indian Wells. Not the first time that matches have been interrupted by bees. This was a Major League Baseball game back in 2016.
He was pointing to the outfield and swatting with what I'm assuming that, almost like there was some bees or something, kind of looking out to left field, not really wanting to go over there.
You can see them right in front of the camera, right, buzzing back and forth.
What I don't understand is if they've been there, where have they been?
I don't know where have they been. But also there was a test match between New Zealand and England 2 years ago where there was bees and wasps on the pitch and everyone hit the deck. That also happened in a Mexican Open golf tournament.
This was the sixth hardest hole.
Uh-oh, what's happening here?
No, get down.
They're being swarmed right now with bees.
Oh my goodness, guys, I'm lucky. I'm about 150 yards away, but all the players. I've never seen this before.
That's the most unusual thing I've ever seen on the golf course. Everybody just hit the deck.
Wow.
It's like a fog of bees that just blew through. Now where are they going?
All right. It's resurfacing.
So I'm sensing a common theme when bees are around, people, as that commentator said, hit the deck.
Mm.
But I'm pretty sure bees can still get you down on the deck.
Sure. I'm sensing a common theme too. I think bees hate sport. They just keep interrupting. And I don't know what it is with tennis and bees, but a lady thought she was a bee and interrupted a match as well.
There's a person imitating a bee.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll take care.
But it's a buzz right before I serve. You think that's
No, that's okay? Not good. That's not good. Okay. Yeah.
Imitating a bee, that is a new one.
Come on, Stefano.
So bees and tennis don't go, but I think there's some weird interruptions with tennis, and this is my all-time favourite. Have a listen if you can see what distracted the players during this tennis match at the Canadian Open semi-final last year.
Oh, wow. Cotton Eye Joe just came on mid-rally.
Yeah. They should play all tennis with Cotton Eye Joe in the
They should play, but imagine going to try an ace and all of a sudden you're... Of course, the most famous interruption, though, by any animal in an Australian sport would have to be this from Sandy Roberts.
Oh, there's a pig on the ground. There is a pig at full forward.
Oh, he's on a lead. He's on a lead. Get the runner out there and pick up the pig.
Peak Sandy.
Absolute
God,
peak Sandy.
Oh, pig at full forward. How good.
So we'd have to say bees, though, away from sport.
I've actually never been stung by a bee.
Neither have I.
Yeah, all right.
Maybe you should hit the deck.
This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
The reigning premiers Collingwood find themselves at 0-2. Let's hear from their coach, Craig McRae, last night.
I think their pressure overwhelmed us at times. It did. Yeah, them at their best is a great pressure team. We didn't handle that. Aerial power in defensive 50 has been an issue. Too many marks in those one-on-ones or two-on-two, so we've got to get to work on that. I thought tonight our turnover game was pretty poor. You know, like where we turn the ball over, I'm not sure we've been doing that in recent time where we did. Now, we're allowed to make mistakes. We make many, and we're okay with it. It's just where we make them and how much we can, you know, defend it when we make certain mistakes, and some of those tonight were just poor judgment or decision making.
And speaking of that turnover game, of the Swans' 102 points, 78 were scored from turnover. So a very un-Collingwood-like performance. And Rabs, as a Collingwood fan, I'm just wondering, what was your takeaway from the experience? Because last night Craig McRae was also asked about some of just the personal blunders on the field. And he said, yes, they were being made by the likes of, you know, our skipper Darcy Moore and some more senior heads who don't usually muck up like that. But that's an easy fix because usually they're performing at the top of their game. What were your takeaways?
Pretty similar to that. You know, Pendle's got holding the ball and turned it over. Isaac Quaynor turned it over, still side bottom turned it. And these are probably the best ball users that Collingwood have. Darcy Moore turned it over inside defensive 50 and caused a goal. So, look. Collingwood's lost to the GWS Giants and Sydney Swans, so they're 0-2. But those two sides, we're probably expecting to be up the top this year, so that's fine. But I do have a confession to make.
What?
For the first time in my life, I left early last night.
You're kidding!
I left early for the first time. And I grew up going for Collingwood during the mid to early 90s when we were absolute poo.
What time are we talking?
Isaac Heaney's last quarter goal. So I put it down to old age. I think I was I've got work tomorrow. It's like quarter past 10. I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
So you're being sensible is what you're saying.
So I apologise because I'm a very faithful Collingwood fan, but not going to lie to you, there was about 40,000 people who left with me. So,
oh my god, if
the
not
stands
more.
Yeah. Look a little empty towards the end
of
the night.
I'm not too worried as a Collingwood fan.
Do we buy into the alarmism of the 0-2? You're going to miss finals narrative? We've seen over the journey, it's like 10% of teams I think that start the season 0-2 end up playing finals. Is that just reserved for the pooey sides?
Yeah. So most teams that start 0-2 don't play finals, but that's because they're bad teams.
Exactly.
Collingwood isn't a bad team. Collingwood's not even a good team. They're an excellent team.
Yes.
And they're perhaps just finding their groove a little bit. I mean, I don't think it's a premiership hangover, but they have to climb the mountain again. And it is really hard to go back to back. Like, I think some people think that dynasties are a fait accompli, but it's actually really difficult to climb the mountain again because you get there and you have this huge elation. And then next season, you start at ground zero with everyone else. But as you say, Rabs, the Giants and the Swans, two pretty good teams.
Excellent teams.
And Collingwood perhaps just finding their groove.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
So I don't know about you two guys, but I'm really leaning into the theme that is Easter, at least when it comes to eating. So this morning I got up, I went for a walk. I went down to Bread Club, which is a local bakery in Albert Park.
Nice.
And got a delicious hot cross bun. Actually, we got a half dozen, but I had one this morning under the griller with a big slather, I guess you would say, of butter.
A dollop.
But that is not my public service announcement for this morning. My PSA.
Oh.
Hear that?
Oh, you've brought props.
I have indeed.
I didn't realise. Okay.
And edible ones too at that, Will. Now, this is from Aldi. It's their mini peanut butter filled eggs. They describe them as being creamy milk chocolate with a smooth peanut butter filling and crunchy pieces. These, my friends, are absolutely rocking my world.
So
I'm
this is
throw
not,
one at you.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Have you're, a taste.
This
we'll
is
catch.
Not, you're not some sort of Aldi influencer.
No, I'm
not
at all,
of.
But these are so delicious. Oh, good grab, Rabs.
Thank
that
you.
That was quite an aggressive
now,
throw.
Now, I'm not a peanut butter stan. I don't really like peanut butter.
Are you serious?
No, and I don't like hot cross buns either. So.
Well, get your lips around this and tell me what you think.
Wow.
Yum?
Peanut butter. Mm. It's rare. It's like a Reese's piece.
I know, but they're from Aldi, so I'm guessing they're cheaper than a Reese's pieces.
That's wonderful.
But this is my PSA, everyone. Get down to Aldi, the meanie peanut butterfield eggs.
Jeez, Aldi would be happy with
me. I'm sure this sounds nice. Us just
this isn't cash for comment.
No, not at all.
On air this morning. But you're not the biggest Easter egg fan, Will. Is that what you're saying?
No, I like my chocolate, but this time of year is a hot cross bun time of year for me.
Now, do you like one filled with fruit? So you a traditionalist?
Oh, yeah, I don't mind a sultana or two. It has to be grilled.
A sultana or two?
Is that what's in them?
I think more like raisins, aren't they? Is that,
are you? Do you eat fruit and nut?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love fruit and nut.
Oh, no.
But we agree they have to be grilled with butter. That's how. Yeah, okay. You're not eating straight out of the pack.
So my PSA is if you go to the supermarket and you see a crunchy egg or a crunchy bunny, you got to get it.
Crunchy.
They are the best. They have the little bits of honeycomb. Just in
yum.
Easter egg chocolate, as you know, is thinner, but they still somehow get that honeycomb in. Yeah. It is amazing.
Is it thinner? Okay, well.
Easter egg chocolate is like significantly thinner.
You're blowing Rad's mind here, unless you're getting a lint.
Yeah.
Oh, these are so yum.
These are yum.
These are really good.
And we should probably finish them off air because I think eating on air is as bad as radio.
Yeah, that's
it is. And it's got stuck to the top of my mouth.
And it's a very weird situation we have ourselves in the AFL season. So we have four clubs that have played two games each. We have a bevy of clubs that have not played one. But if we go back to Thursday night, it was Carlton in front of 84,000 fans at the MCG by 5 points. Here's how it sounded on Triple M.
Three-quarter time at the MCG. This game very much up for grabs. The Tigers lead 11-7-73 to the Blues 9-11-65. Oh, he's from 45 metres out. It's got his second to the roar of the Blues faithful. They get the first of the last quarter. Pulls the ball forward to Deconing. Standing in the hole, and that'll be 50. Deconing launches. The Blues have got two in a row, and they take the lead back.
Fires out the back. Now Chera snaps. Got it. Something out of nothing for the Blues. Three on the bounce now. Callum, they're going to win two in a row. The Blues hang on.
A really entertaining, seesawing game. It was, my heart was racing for those last 15 minutes. I thought it was a belting game of footy. Really brave from Richmond, Sarah.
Oh, they were so gallant. Only going down by 5 points. And this is with Josh Gibkiss, the young defender, who's had really wretched luck doing his ACL. Dion Prestia, another soft tissue issue, a hamstring for him. And Tyler Young was subbed off at halftime with concussion symptoms. So it meant that this Tigers side was undermanned, and also they had to tinker with that lineup because Noah Bolter has been playing forward.
Yeah, how good was he?
He was awesome, but they had to throw him back because they were missing two of their key cogs and big men in defence. And of course, Harry Mackay and Charlie Kerner were holding up that end for the Blues. So that's as tough as you get. So I thought Richmond should be really proud of the way they performed. And that's what Adam Uzo said after the match. They're 0-2, but potentially not the worst 0-2 of all time, because the Blues are a side that we all think are going to contend, and to just go down by 5 points when you finish the match with three on the bench, I thought a really good effort. It was Tom Lynch's first game since round four last year. He probably had to play a little more minutes than he and the Richmond Football Club had anticipated, but I thought they just looked a lot better with him and Nank structuring them up, and also one by the name of D. Martin back in the team. Yeah. A handy inclusion.
Look sharp.
So the next few games are against Port Adelaide at home, Sydney at home, St Kilda in Adelaide, then West Coast, and then the bye. So a few tough games still to come for the Tigers, and you don't expect any of those players, or maybe Tyler Young to come back. Obviously, Gibkiss, won't we? Prestia, do we know how long that injury is going to be for yet, Sarah?
Well, it's a minimum 3 weeks with a hamstring. The issue for Dion Prestia is this is a reoccurring problem for him, and he is getting older in the twilight of his career, so they're not going to risk him. But the Gibkiss injury is massive because this is a player who didn't feature at all last year because of lower leg issues. He went to Doha, I think, to see a specialist there and try to work things through, and they had high hopes for him this season, and they pretty much knew straight away that it was an ACL, and it was confirmed yesterday morning.
On the other side of the coin, Carlton, now Cardiac Carlton, as we're calling them, the last six wins have come from 6 points or less. And Harry Mackay spoke to Triple M after the game and said they have been training for those close games, a bit like Collingwood had over the last 2 years. What a remarkable ride the Blues are on already this season and the back half of last season. And it's great to see both Charlie and Harry up and about.
Yeah, I feel like if you asked a Carlton supporter of 2-3 years ago if we were going to win a game like that Richmond one, they would have said that's an absolute game that we would drop. And I think it's a sign of a professional side, a side that is hardened now with some finals experience, and they look the real deal. They've got the bye now and then North Melbourne on that Good Friday game. And then they're heading over to Perth to play Freo, who aren't really in people's finals predictions at this time of season. Of course, we have not seen any form of them yet, but feels like 4-0 is not, it's not unlikely at this stage.
Yeah, and plenty of players to come back. Jacob Wiedering, Sam Walsh, of course, are going to be two massive inclusions for them. They're irresistible at the moment, Blues. Yeah. Like, they are must-watch box office television. And you talk about them training for these situations of being down or being close with 5 or so minutes to go. The best form of training is actually living it out on game day. Yeah. And that's what we saw with Collingwood perhaps for the past 18 months, is that every time they were in that situation, they either had the belief that they could do it because they had done it. And Carlton are starting to form that belief. As you say, Rabs, the last 6 wins by under a goal. That is remarkable.
Extraordinary.
And ahead of the Essendon and Hawthorn game today, they are celebrating the 40-year anniversary of the 1984 and 85 VFL Grand Finals.
And the little rover runs into the goal. Now a hand pass coming over to Duckworth.
In front is O'Hara, and this is their goal. Baker puts it through.
Vanderhaar knocked on. There's a goal now for Weston. He's put it through for a goal. Coming over to Watson. This could be another goal. It is. There's the siren.
Essendon winning their first flag since 1965. As the bombers
fly on. And Essendon legend Simon Madden joins us this morning on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Hello, Simon. Thank you for joining us, mate. Did that bring back some memories?
Thank you very much, people. Yes, it does. I'm doing the very Melbourne thing at the moment. I'm on the train going to the football, mate. There you go. You can't be any more Melbourne than that. How's that?
No, you can't.
Absolutely. And Simon, I imagine one of the best things about winning a premiership, or in your case too, is these events where you get to catch up with former teammates. What are you looking forward to most today?
Oh, just how big the stories have gotten, how much better we look.
Now, Simon, the rivalry back then, of course, we go to 83, 84, 85, the same two teams in the grand final. It must have been so exciting back in the day to have the same teams in the grand final. Is that rivalry something that you still feel today?
Oh, look, I explained to the Hawthorn supporters as well as the Essendon supporters that think about this is just grand finals, right? So this is Hawthorn in grand finals. 83 win, 84 lose, 85 lose, 86 win, 87 lose, 88 win, 89 win, 90 miss out, 91 win. Now, that's a very good team. And we beat them, and we beat them twice. So I'm very, very happy with that. And 84, 85. So you still have a great respect. I ran into Dermy. Funnily enough, things like this, I ran into Dermy down at a Bunnings in Rye when we both looked at the top of our hand. And he gave me a big hug. He gave me a big hug. And then we were talking foot for about half an hour.
Simon, take us back to three-quarter time in 84, because your side's trailing by 23 points. You've only kicked 5 goals at this point, and you go on to pile on something crazy like 9 goals, 60 points. Take us back there, and what was the belief like that you could overrun this side, particularly given the year before Hawthorn had the better of you?
Yeah, look, well, we up and I tried to forget that one, but it was then a record losing score. Lucky enough, it's been beaten three times, so people don't normally talk about it now. But I think then Siege is a master of the mind play, and he had us standing up. He pointed over to the other group and said, "Look at them; they're tired, they're worn out, they're all sitting down, they've all got their tracksuit tops on or their dressing gowns on. Oh, look!" And so he really played on that. And then there's an old saying that says, "You'll forget what people said, you get what people did, but you'll always remember how people made you feel." And I remember running out of that three-quarter time huddle going, "Yeah, we're ready to go." You know, like you just felt so pumped up. And it all worked. So of course it started with me because I was in the ruck. always all about me, but I hit the ball down. Daisy Williams got it, hit Leon Baker, and we got a first goal within 9 minutes. And Leon Baker got excited. Now, when Leon Baker got excited, he's a very cool, calm character. When he got excited, we all got excited. And that's when the...
Well, you might have just
gone.
Oh, he is on the train. So he could be going through a tunnel.
Oh, that's that last bit.
Oh, no, we got you, mate. We got you back. Must have gone through City Loop there, I think. You might have been going through there, Simon. So you're celebrating the 84 and 85 premiership today, or just the 84?
Well, I think they invite everybody, but I'd be very disappointed if we don't do this again next year.
Yeah, that's I was going to say. Because you won the Norm Smith in 1985. You spoke about those tall stories getting a bit taller, but, I mean, a Norm Smith medal doesn't beat that, mate.
Well, no, and the other one I love to tell everybody very loudly is I'm the only ruckman to have won a Norm Smith medal. So that just puts me in my own little character. We have a great little party each year where I just sit in the lounge and watch the grand final.
Absolutely. Now, Simon, speaking of ruckman and ruck work, the Essendon situation today has raised our eyebrows, and so has an icon of the club in the ruck department. What do you think of Goldstein being brought in and then Sam Draper not playing today?
Well, that's the realism of footy. I actually spoke to Goldie before he made a decision. We're at the grand final, and he had a couple of options at Collingwood and Essendon. And I said, look, Collingwood wants you. We need you. And so I might add my two. I think maybe I've got 2 cents worth in getting him to think about coming. But Draper's had a big injury, and there's no rush about bringing people back into the game anymore. And especially if you need a bloke for the whole season. And I've said there all the young players that, you know, who are still learning about how to handle injuries. It's better to be 1 week late than 1 week early. And that way you make sure that you're going to have an extended time back in the team. So, and I think I watched him play in the Essendon Geelong practice game. I was actually down there. He did very, very well. Apparently, he's got Brian under his wing and teaching him all the things a 300-game ruckman would know. And I think he's fitted in really well, and he's really enjoying it. So I see it as a great... Now, whether he lasts there the whole year, you know, you've got to be realistic at the age and young fellas coming through. But part of his job in that role is to teach the young fellas everything he knows. So I think it's a great move. And I'd love to see both of them in the team. I still think you can do that. You got to be able to sit in the forward pocket or full forward, kick a goal, and then have a little bit of rest on the bench, and then go back in the centre. So I think it worked really well for both of them.
We're speaking to Simon Madden ahead of the Bombers 84-85 premiership celebrations today. Just in terms of the Bombers more broadly, Simon, we heard this week Coach Brad Scott pleading for a bit of patience, which I think is hard for Bomber fans to hear because it has been a long time between finals wins. What do you make of those calls for patience? Because the Bombers faithful are getting a little bit restless.
The Bombers faithful are restless at the better time. So I think there is a lot of frustration, but I've been quoted in the press before. I said last year was a development year for the players. This year is a consolidation year, and next year is a year that we should start to see something happening. I'd love to see us play finals and win this year. It might not happen. We might end up 9th or 10th, but I think I really think that it'll be a great year for us next year, and hopefully we'll move ahead of that plan. But don't be disappointed if we don't quite make it.
Well, Simon Madden, thank you so much for joining us today, mate. Enjoy your celebrations of the 1984 and 85 premierships.
Good on you. Thanks, people, and go Dons.
Good on you, Simon.
And by the way, you can hear all the action of Essendon versus Hawthorn right here on Triple M and the Listener app. The Saturday Rub Boys will call the socks off that, including JB, Bernie, Daisy Thomas...
Brian Taylor.
And Brian Taylor.
People, thanks, people.
Oh, no. Up next, you're going to deep dive into West Coast's new/old theme song, Will.
Yes.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
Now, I'm a little bit nervous because, Rabs, usually you are over there controlling the mics, the buttons, everything. Mm. But we are doing a little swapping. Will, you are going to move over to Rabs. Rabs, you are moving over to Will's spot.
I have some craft.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
You now have each other's cans on. And Will.
Oh, very loud.
Yeah, very loud. I'm half deaf.
Wow.
It's over to you.
I have a theory. So West Coast Eagles fans would recognise, AFL fans would recognise the song that they have rolled out since 2020. And it's this one. Born is with Ian Kenny.
Yes, Birds of Tokyo.
It's unpopular, I think is fair to say. That is the song that they have rolled out the last couple of years. The team has been unsuccessful, and so we saw the change this year has been made.
Yeah, Don Pike wasn't happy.
That's the man. He went over there. He has put his foot down and he said, we're getting rid of the inflatable, the jumping castle that they run through.
Yes.
We're getting the song back. Bye-bye. So we're going to hear this from this week. The West Coast Eagles will run out to this iconic tune. Of course, they won a premiership in 2018 singing this song. But I have a theory that this song is the hardest in the AFL for the average footy supporter to sing.
Because right. No one knows the lyrics because it never gets played?
In recent years, that is true. But the lyrics are fine. And I think it's actually a belter. But what they are asking their supporters to do is sing what I think Christina Aguilera couldn't pull off.
Oh. Right.
So we start down here. Now, this note, I have done some analysis. That is an A-sharp one.
Oh.
We're going the very bass. This is like tenor, bass, right. Bottom of the vocal range. And then by the time we get up to Kings of the Big Game here, Kings of the Big Game. We're up there. We're at an E-flat 4. So we've jumped 3 octaves, which is a big range. That's a range that most singers are incapable of pulling off.
Okay.
It's like the American National Anthem is a song that has that many ranges.
You
now,
are.
I'm a very...
We've heard some pretty bad versions of
that. Exactly, some very bad versions of that. But then they throw a key change at you. Kings of the Big Game. So that's that one there. And then they go up to here. We're the big ones, Kings of the Big Game. Now we're up here. That's an E4. Mm. That is really hard to hit. If you've started down here, we're jumping up to an E4.
It's bought a keyboard.
And then, you won't believe it, they bloody key change it again. We're going up again, and then we end up getting to this note. The trumpet. We're starting from here and getting up to an F4 is just unheard of, and I think that the Eagles need to bring it in a bit because that is just too hard for the average member to sing. I would love to hear some sort of survey of the Eagles members and see how many of them can actually sing this song.
I wonder how many of them know that there are that many key changes and note changes because that is some eagle-eyed listening.
Thank you very much.
From you, Will.
That's probably why the Carlton ones... so popular as well because it's pretty much just that low octave, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very achievable.
It is very
achievable. I think that's what you want from a song.
Maybe Don Pike has a very good vocal range. And that is why the CEO wants to bring it back in vogue. Yeah. Maybe he wants to show off a little bit, old Don.
He's Freddie Mercury. Now, I'm going to try and get us out here. I'm just going to hit play and turn the mics off.
Good luck. Triple M's Dead
Set Legends. Now, Sarah, you live around this local area and you're at one of the pubs and you saw something interesting being delivered this week.
I wasn't at the pub, but I was walking past.
Oh, right. That's a change.
The Albert Park Hotel. And, there was a car on top of a car, and not just any car, but one of the F1 cars being carted, I guess, towards the pits in Albert Park because we are getting so close now to the Grand Prix. It is next weekend. It was a McLaren, so potentially Oscar's car,
right.
Oscar Piastri.
So in my head, this was just like a promotional vehicle or something.
Well, maybe it was.
Right.
I mean, it probably
was. It could have been.
But
I don't know.
In my head, it was Oscar's car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could have kissed it. I was that close.
F1 fever is starting to grip the...
Well, we're going to be there next Saturday as well.
Yeah,
we are. Live from the Grand Prix. I'll tell you what I saw this week. I wasn't actually there, but I saw it on social media. Thursday night, there was an old man in the MCC unboxing a brand new pair of RM Williams. It doesn't get more on brand than that.
Raises so many questions. Wear them in.
Well, he probably just picked them up from Collins Street and got straight to the footy.
I don't have any time.
I think he had his old faithfuls on and was just dusting off the brand new pair of RM Williams. So.
Did you catch a glimpse of what kind of supporter he was?
I believe he's probably a Melbourne supporter at the Carlton-Richmond game.
Okay, just dusting off the RM.
Because you say that happens a bit. I've not heard of that. So you'll see Demons supporters just turning up because they can?
Well, because they're MCC members. Yeah, yeah. There was a few there last night as well to watch Sydney versus Collingwood. So I'm sure there'll be a few at Essendon versus Hawthorn today as well.
Yeah. If you're manning the store in RM Williams in the city, watch out.
It can be very busy.
They're coming in.
What are you doing today for the rest of your weekend?
I'm meant to catch up with a couple of friends. Mm-hmm. I've now got the weekend ahead of me now that we've finished the show. And so it's nice. I feel like these are the last couple of days of summer that we're actually going to get. I think it turns a bit during the week. So I feel like we should capitalise on it today.
Yeah. Well, I've got two friends. A friend of mine, Tom, moving to Canada on Monday, and not a friend, a sibling, a sister. My sister Rebecca is moving to London on Monday as well. So I've just got a weekend of catching up and goodbyes. So, it's going to be two big losses for me in terms of people I love, but looking forward to them spreading their wings, you know?
I've been heading down to Frankston to see my friend who's just had his second baby, which would be nice.
Oh, that's lovely.
He's only a couple of weeks old, little Finley. And then doing the Sunday game tomorrow, Melbourne versus Western Bulldogs. Speaking of footy, completely fam-related, Nuffy footy-related, let's get some tips for the rest of the games. Will, Essendon versus Hawthorn.
So these are analysis-free.
Analysis-free. This is properly just using your gut.
Just the same metrics that you and your car might be using. Yep. Essendon Hawks, I am bullish on Essendon. I actually think they're going to have a better season than people are forecasting. But the Hawks are good, I will admit that.
Yeah, I think the Hawks, unfortunately, have been hit by injuries this preseason, so I think it's the Bombers for me.
I think Essendon as well. The Giants versus North Melbourne. This could get a little bit ugly for North Melbourne already.
Up there.
That is a tough one, particularly given the Giants have already played a game and they're just really moving with momentum. But for the Roos, some debutants, Colby McKercher pick two, Zane Dersma pick four.
There's excitement.
There is excitement.
Massively.
So tune in just to see some of those young guns.
What about the Cats versus the Saints? They've got the brand new stadium opening up.
Indeed.
It's very weird because, as we were saying before, we know a form line for Sydney. Mm-hmm. They're now 2-0. From that 2022 grand final. We're expecting the same bounce from Geelong. We don't know where they're at yet. I'm going to back them in. I think Cats tonight.
I just think they're going to still be tough to beat down there. Yeah. I think it is one of the biggest advantages in the league. And they've still got some pretty good talent on paper. And, yeah, interested to see where St Kilda are at because there are some fans this preseason, but I'm not so sold yet, Rabs.
Well, you can hear all three of those games live on Triple M, starting with the Saturday Rub coming up next.
That has been another massive edition of Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Betfair. Betfair are on your side this autumn racing. Imagine what you could be buying instead.